You are listening to the Grand Old Party. No, the Grand Old Audio Party. I'm sorry. On WFMU.org, it's the RNC Remix. The professor here, the treasurer of the Don Henley Fan Club. Coming up next, we take you up to our audio lab upstairs. Upstairs. I'm calling upstairs right now, where I believe Ken is upstairs.
And this is the sort of bait and switch convention. That is, that the speakers...
There you go. The audio lab is on the air.
Are not the
with our direct connection to Madison Square Garden on the RNC Remix.
But actually, we're the majority party. We have not only the White House, we have the majority of the U.S. Senate, we have a majority of the House of Representatives, majority of governors, and actually a majority of state legislators. So this is a more broadly based party than Senator Clinton suggests.
I mean, where are the Ralph Reeds and the Pat Buchanans and Gary Bowers? Even Speaker Hastert is not being featured in prime time. They had him speak during the day.
Well, I did see him speak earlier today. This is a party we do have the governor of California. We do have the governor of New York. We do have the mayor of New York City. So we're putting forward the broad base of this party, and there are conservatives speaking like the president and vice president as well as others.
I'm just being told that Hastert is, I thought he already spoke once today, but that they're going to have him speak again. Senator, do you think what viewers are going to see tonight represents the true face of the party?
I really do. As the governor has pointed out, we have a Republican moderate who is in charge of the largest state in the union, California, a Republican mayor right here in New York City. And I think this demonstrates that our party is a party that welcomes diverse views, but is united on fundamental principles.
So do you feel, as a socially moderate Republican from the Northeast, do you feel welcome in this party?
Absolutely. This party is a big tent party. It is a party that welcomes diverse views. But there are core principles that unite us. A strong national defense, a belief in personal responsibilities, those are typical of the principles that we all endorse.
So it doesn't make it harder for either you or President Bush to have a platform, for example, that calls for constitutional amendments banning gay marriage and abortion?
I think it demonstrates acceptance and tolerance that pervades our party.
And this is the RNC Remix and the first of several audio hijacks that we'll be doing this week at around this time, where we'll be going in and out of the audio provided by WNET if you're in the New York area. And if you're not in the New York area, don't worry, we won't be using that much of the television audio anyway. The phone number here is 201-209-9368. Also, if you've been listening to the RNC Remix and you care to call up and chat about anything at all related to the convention or the worldwide situation post 9/11, I guess the theme tonight...
You know what I think? I think there's some kind of deviated prevert, and that you were organizing some kind of mutiny of preverts.
That's a good sign, because I don't know where that came from. So that's a very good sign. I guess the theme of tonight's coverage.
Deviated prevert, and that you were organizing some kind of mutiny of preverts.
There we go. Oh yeah, I see how it's happening.
You want to know what I think? I think you're some kind of deviated prevert, and that you were organizing some kind of mutiny of preverts.
I've always enjoyed radio when you heard noises. As a DJ, that you're on the air and you hear noises and music and you no longer know where it's coming from. And that's what just happened to me there. So tonight's theme on the television end, the public television end of the Republican National Convention, from what I can discern, seems to be 9/11. Right? I think Bloomberg... Giuliani is talking tonight. Giuliani, hopefully we will be able to carry some of...
I think there's some kind of deviated prevert, and that you were organizing some kind of mutiny of preverts.
That's...
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Now, it certainly makes sense that 9/11... would be a sub-theme of one night of the Republican National Convention, since that event certainly is central to so much of what's going on now.
Lighten our darkness.
And, you know, since 9/11, I have collected pretty much every 9/11 related email I've received. And it's now, there's thousands of them. And sometimes I go back and look at those emails and you see the descent into the current situation. The current situation meaning, for example, that I had to show my papers to a policeman with a machine gun to get to the radio station this morning. Another thing I've saved since 9/11 have been all the CDs that have been mailed to WFMU by artists and comedians and anybody who found the need or desire to put out a piece of audio related to 9/11. And I haven't had the heart to even go and listen to them. I haven't even looked at them. I've just been saving them. I didn't want anybody at the radio station to take them. It seemed too sensitive for a long time. And then when it was no longer too sensitive, it seemed too overwhelming. And I have every CD related to 9/11 that WFMU has received. But unfortunately, I haven't checked them out at all. I haven't been able to bring myself to. Rich is sitting on the floor right now going through them. And I think we could actually probably use those to extract calls from listeners to the RNC remix. And if we don't get calls, then we'll play the 9/11 CDs that we've received. It's an overwhelming batch, and I don't know whether I'll be able to take it, to be honest. So, to repeat, on tonight's Audio Hijack, we are going to be going in and out of the television coverage on Channel 13 WNET in New York City and environs. We'll also be taking your phone calls at 201-209-9368. We'll also be playing lots of CDs and other things related to 9/11 and not related to 9/11. But I really would like to talk about it with people. That's part of the reason why we're doing this RNC remix, I think. Or I suppose everybody has different reasons, but that's one of the reasons. All right, so we were just hearing the Mass of the Holy Bomb. Let's see, somebody's speaking.
George W. Bush shares the hopeful vision of Lincoln and Reagan. He believes in peace through strength. He believes that the economy grows when the private sector grows, not when the government grows. He understands that government has an important but a limited role in the lives of the people. But John Kerry doesn't share that vision. He's on the wrong side of taxation. He's on the wrong side of litigation. And he's on the wrong side of regulation. These are the job killers. They add cost to our products and put American workers at a disadvantage. But you know, John Kerry doesn't see it that way, folks. No, it is Boston Tax Party. John Kerry promised to increase taxes on the job creators. Instead of throwing tea in the Boston Harbor, John Kerry wants to throw the taxpayers overboard.
I'm a real nice fellow, a real nice fellow.
Both President Lincoln and President Reagan understood that in order to be respected around the world, you have to have the courage to stand up for America.
Name me a just cause, I'm in favor of it.
George W. Bush shares the Lincoln and the Reagan vision. Does anybody really know where
issues?
John Kerry stands on the war?
I love him.
You know, he's voted for it, and he's voted against it. My friends, this is no time to pick a leader who is weak on the war and wrong on taxes.
I love him. I stand on principles, on my own 2 feet, on ceremony, on guard.
George W. Bush is a strong leader with the right vision for America.
You can't fault me.
It is the Lincoln vision, it is the Reagan vision, and it is the American vision. Thank you very much.
Wars, I hate them. Peace,
and there was Speaker
give it a
Hatton,
chance.
His
Redwoods and sequoias, let them stand. I'm a real nice fellow.
I'm a real nice fellow.
Name me a just cause.
I'm in favor of it.
Issues. I love them. I stand on principles. On my own 2 feet. On ceremony. On guard.
Party. Denny Hastert, not known as a fierce partisan, not known certainly as a vehement. Not partisan, I guess is the best way to put it. And he just went after John Kerry right from the get-go. I mean, it was he mentioned George Bush twice in the speech and John Kerry five times. And the speech was only six paragraphs long. Yeah. Let me tell everybody what's coming up here in a couple minutes or so.
Oh, man, aren't these PBS people awful? It's Jim Lehrer and, like, Morton Kondracki, I think that's his name, who's got more skin falling off of his face even than John Kerry. And I know that that's not an easy thing to pull off. And I suppose what we've just been listening to, besides the Nihilist Spasm Band, was the guy, he's like a warm-up guy, a warm-up Republican operative for John McCain, the most popular politician in America today. So I guess that's kind of what we're waiting for, although I'd certainly love to get calls from you as well at 201-209-9368 if you want to talk on the stream, I guess a more accurate way of putting it than on the air. And we'll be going in and out. I guess tonight's McCain and Giuliani, like the St. Giuliani and John McCain, who, man oh man, isn't it incredible how both parties just salivate over the guy? All right, we're going to go back to TV audio and back to computer audio, and then we'll be back with you.
Then when they were asked for second and third choices, they mentioned people like Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, sort of a moderate list.
Yeah. Well, let's go. We got a couple minutes here. I asked you this very complicated question, gave you 10 seconds before we had to go away. Finish your answer about the nature of the party and how you see it.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, and fellow citizens. Every year, by law and by custom, we meet here to threaten the world.
Threaten the world.
The American flag stands for corporate scandals, recession, stock market declines, blackmail, burning with hot irons, mutilation with electric drills, cutting out tongues, terror, mass murder, and rape. Terror. First goal is to show utter contempt for the environment. I have sent you a comprehensive energy plan to devastate communities, kill wildlife, and burn away millions of acres of treasured forests. This government is taking unprecedented measures to protect our people and defend our homeland. We've posted more than 50 small guns in airports. Begun inoculating troops and first responders against hopelessness. This year,
for the first time,
we must offer every child in America 3 nuclear missiles.
That they will control.
And they will own. Terror. message for the people of Iran. We can't help you. Go home and die. And tonight I have a message for the people of Iran. We will find the innocent. Go home and die. One by one, the terrorists are learning. We are building a culture to encourage international terrorism. One by one, the terrorists are learning. We are building a culture against every child in Iraq. We will deny Iraq. We will ignore Iraq. We will change Iraq. We will dominate Iraq. We will sacrifice peace, and we will intimidate the world. The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently had 3 biological and nuclear weapons in his arsenal, even while inspectors were in his country. Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons in his arsenal. Secretary of State Powell plant information to incite fear about Iraq's weapons programs, deceiving the inspectors themselves. And we exercise power without humanity. But why? Powered by drugs. Next to you and defender still today. But why? Because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S. Adversity has revealed the character of our country. We exercise power without humanity, and we sacrifice the liberty of strangers. Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not a strategy, and it is not an option. Not an option. Not an option. Terrorism. Despite all these efforts, however, America's purpose is more than to follow a process. It is to achieve a result. The end of the civilized world. 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 To incite fear.
People are upset about some things, darling.
Why are they yelling?
They want attention. They're trying to get attention so that people will listen to them.
This is our way of trying to get some media attention because they are ignoring us. They're ignoring the anti-war movement. They're ignoring the anti-government movement. We love our country, but we cannot trust our government anymore. Our government is totally out of control. George Bush is full of shit. And who do you believe? Do you believe George Bush or do you believe me? That's what it's coming down to. Do you believe your neighbors? Do you believe the people that live in your hometown? Or do you believe these mad dog killers in Washington, D.C.?
Are we setting up a situation where young people who are just starting to come of age are going to have no choice but to either join the military where there seems to be a lot of money or to go to jail where there seems to be a lot of money? Is that what this is lining up to be?
Phone. in this land of jokes. Can't leave it alone, cause you know I can see right through corrupt plans in these bullshit scams and untruths. We living in a maze, different days and times. The world is a stage, most truth is a lie. In this propaganda matrix, the sheep just die. For these murderous conservatives with corporate ties, deny knowledge of the truth, ignoring the poor. They just human ammunition for these capital wars. Just human ammunition and collateral deep. That's why millions of us holler, rising up in the street. And when you see me, understand I'm representing a voice the majority would feel if ever given a choice. I don't need the CD media, they only annoyed. Cause the only ones that wanna scrap ain't ever deployed. Who do the fighting for these rich white folks in they wars? No, it ain't Drew Carey, Dennis Miller, or Starz. Fox News, Mike Savage, Bruce Willis, or Rush. Won't be MSNBC, CNN, or a Bush. Never Toby Keith, Hannity, O'Reilly, or Clint. Ain't Clear Channel, no, they ain't supporting dissent. Never Blair, Kid Rock, or Tom Cruise, or Vows, or James Woods, Rob Lowe, Tom Selleck, or Powell. Not Arnold Schwarzenegger, he ain't gon' shoot. A Ted Nugent, cause in war, targets got weapons too. Ain't Cheney, Rumsfeld, Halliburton, or Ridge, or Ann Coulter, or Joseph Lieberman, or the Rich, or any bitch up in Congress. They just make laws. When it come to fighting, we the ones that end up in gold. So when you say support that murderer, I have no applause. Even if he got his jumpsuit on, we pay the cost. Yeah. Still riding. We still riding. Gorilla funk. Yeah.
So the goddamn TV is just stuck in the pre-game show. We've got a TV in here tuned to Channel 13, WNET, if you're in the New York region. With the idea that we would provide an alternative soundtrack to, I guess, McCain and Giuliani, the two big speeches that are going to be telecast tonight on Channel 13. But you know what? I don't want to. I don't want to. We might go back to it from time to time. But the big audio hijack, see, a true audio hijack where you take a big major event television program and you provide an alternative soundtrack for the listeners so that they watch the television with the sound off and listen to your radio program, that has to be done over FM. It can't be done really over the internet because of the massive delay that the internet causes in getting the sound from us to you. So Thursday night from 8 to 11, during the coronation, during George W. Bush's acceptance speech, then we will be going all out in an attempt to create an alternative soundtrack for that television event, Thursday night from 8 to 11 p.m. Tonight, we're just kind of hanging out on day two of the RNC Remix and experimental WFMU programming event. And if you've been out there listening, and we have seen that there have been a healthy number of people listening, we would love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call at our on-air line at 201-209-9368. We had an interesting day of programming here on the RNC Remix today. I did Conservatives Corner with Radman from the WFMU message board, and that was fascinating. In so many ways, and if you missed it, then I'm not going to go into it, but here was a young conservative gentleman, well, maybe not gentleman, who is not going to vote. Wasn't that interesting that Radman, with all his expressed pro-Bush conservative viewpoints, is not going to vote? That was a nice little detail in my long conversation with him. I'm glad that there's people on his side, on George W. Bush's side, who aren't going to vote. Because unfortunately, I know there's many people on the other side who also aren't going to vote. Something I've learned in the listeners I've been talking to. Although many, many people are. Many people are quite fired up. As well they should be, I think. Because, you know, friends, it's okay to despise John Kerry and still want to send him money. It is okay to see him as the ultimate pathetic, mediocre career politician that he is and still want him to win very badly. And there's a lot of people out there, I think, who feel that way. And there's people who feel other ways, and we're interested in talking to everybody. If you feel like giving us a call at 201-209-9368. However, you know, we do have this threat on the table. Not only do I have a television in the studio, and I'm ready to use it. More importantly, I have a box of every CD related to 9/11 that WFMU has received since that horrible event. And I'm queuing up number one right now. And if the listeners to the RNC Remix don't call to talk on the air, then we're just going to be hearing one by one the 9/11 CDs that we have received. Beginning now with Lady Liberty Cries. First, let me say, before I begin playing these, that it should not be taken as a sign of disrespect if I do not play these pieces in their entirety. You need to understand that we have far too many 9/11 tribute CDs than we can possibly play in the short amount of time we have been allotted here on the RNC Remix. We only have until 11 o'clock, and I believe we have hundreds of 9/11 tribute CDs that have been mailed to the station. So please do not take it as a sign of disrespect if you are one of the artists who has sent us one of these. Here is Lady Liberty Cries, performed by Jason Gillum. Lyrics by Lorna March. Music by Jason Gillum, who is Australian.
Last night I dreamed of a nightmare sky, where the world was dying and I stood by, hearing the words without comprehending, wave upon wave of pain never ending. A vital foundation, one solid and sure, almost 3 decades standing, is standing no more. So much sorrow and so much pain, never before, pray we'll never see again.
Whoa. See, this is what I knew it would be like. Whew. That's Lady Liberty Cries by Jason Gillum, who's from Australia. All right. I knew there was a good reason why I had been so scared to listen to these. And don't forget, kind listeners of the RNC Remix, the offer is still out there. Anytime you call up, 201-209-9368, to talk about anything you want to talk about, politically speaking, on the air, from whatever side of the aisle you're on. And I know that not everybody agrees with this overall anti-Bush vibe that WFMU is putting across. And, you know, I'd be perfectly happy to speak with anybody of any political persuasion. If you're voting for Nader, if you're not voting, if you're voting for Bush, it matters not. Give us a call at 201-209-9368. Or if you just have comments about the RNC remix. And also, don't forget about our suspicious Republican hotline. If you don't want to talk on the air, the suspicious Republican hotline is 800-989-9368. And you can record a message there, and then we can use it on the air the following day. Hi, hey. You're on the stream.
Awesome. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing really good.
What's your name?
I'm John.
Hey, John.
And I'm in Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why, but I get nervous just calling you. Isn't
that weird? Don't be nervous, John. There's nobody listening.
Well, I'm listening.
Well, you are, and I am. And Cosmic Cowboy and Rich are. They're here also.
Awesome.
Actually,
well,
I could.
Huh?
Anyway, what's on your mind, John? Have you been listening to the RNC remix?
Yeah, as much as possible. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, good.
And I wanted to encourage you to do the hijack, even though there's the delay.
Because yeah, well, it's,
I like seeing the schmuck on TV.
It's still
while you're making them.
Now, do you get public television where you are in Louisiana?
Yeah, I'm watching LPB. That's Louisiana Public Broadcast.
And are they carrying the New York City feed with
Jim Lehrer.
Jim Lehrer. Oh, so it is kind of nationwide on public television. That's good to know. Okay.
Pretty convenient. Yeah.
Well, it's still the pregame show. That horrible guy Morton Kondracki, is that his name?
I've been listening to you, so I know it's not.
Yeah, it's Jim Lehrer and Morton Kondracki, and man, you know these people just turn my stomach.
They're so much better than Fox, but I mean, they could be much worse.
I'm with you. But isn't that horrible? Isn't that one of the more depressing things?
This is the best coverage as the public broadcaster.
Well, to me one of the most depressing things is that the best coverage is still so loathsome in so many ways.
Right.
That's how I feel anyway.
Well, so that just brings me back to. I mean, I would just want to encourage you to do that because it's really nice to hear you making a fool, in my opinion, of whoever's on the TV, and then seeing that fool. You know, the delays doesn't bug me so much, so.
Okay, John, we won't give up on the audio hijack of public television. I'm encouraged just by knowing that you're in Louisiana and listening and that you can pick up this Channel 13 New York City feed on public television. That's good to know.
And I tried to spread the word around here, although I'm not too sure how far that got. But
yeah, I bet you if you spread the word too far in Louisiana, you'll probably get killed.
Well, yeah, there's a surprising amount of people, you know, who feel the same way I do, so.
Where are you in Louisiana?
Baton Rouge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm JDR on the message board, so I probably act a fool in there.
Well, I have a friend in Baton Rouge. I'll have to find out if you know him someday. Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. I said that word about 5 times since I've called you, but that's the nerve.
Oh, my God, John! On public television right now, it's as though this godly light, the set on public television.
Right. They, with the flag and the...
Yeah, it's like Moses and the mount and something. It's...
I can't believe I get away with it.
It's crazy. And how come I'm not getting any... I don't know how come I'm not getting... Oh, I know why. Because I turned down the sound of the television. But it's more pre-game show. Hang on, John.
Right.
Let's see who's on.
I'll turn up my TV for a second.
Proud of every one of them. And blessed by their service to America. I want to tell you about one of them. Jason Cunningham grew up in Farmington, New Mexico.
Okay, so it's another one of these, you know, touching personal stories.
He became an elite Air Force pararescue jumper. In March of 2002, Jason was in Afghanistan when a Navy SEAL was knocked out of a helicopter hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. And his team went in to try to rescue him. When his own helicopter was shot down in the vicious firefight, Jason began treating the wounded and moving them out of the line of fire.
He's gonna cry.
He was going back and forth.
Yeah, see, I don't know, John. I have so much trouble taking that. I can't stomach it.
Well, I know. All the encouragement I can give you is as given. I enjoy it, so I guess I've said my piece.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, thanks a lot for calling, John.
All right, Ken, thanks
okay.
for calling.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, I just have so much trouble because... the approaches they take, it's such a masquerade ball. It's such a Halloween party, this Republican National Convention. They are not being honest about their true nature, about the things that they truly believe in. They are not being honest about the way that they have conducted this war. They have not been honest about the way they used 9/11 to further their own agenda.
Chose to put on the uniform. He knew the risks, and he did it anyway. He knew.
Hi, you're on the air.
What he might leave behind.
How's it going tonight?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. I just called to tell you I'm enjoying the whole day.
Oh, good. It was a pretty wild day.
Yeah.
Scott did an incredible show this morning.
Exactly. That's when I got hooked.
From 9 to noon. And in fact, Scott's on the air right now, so, you know, you could go back and forth between me and Scott.
Nice. You know, were you the one that was with the conservative corner?
I am embarrassed to admit that that was me.
that was a pretty revealing interview.
Yeah, what do you mean? In what way?
Well, I thought it was funny, you know, when the guy called up and told him he sounded like an ignorant redneck or something, his response was, your mother.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, your mother's hard to come back from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, you know, right into the turnbuckle kind of comment.
Yeah.
And then just the fact that the guy says he's never voted, you know? I mean,
yeah, that was amazing. And you know what else was amazing about Radman today? Was that he felt, I think he honestly felt that it was against the law, like against some federal law, for television stations to lie.
Right.
Did you catch that?
I did.
Because I was being sarcastic, obviously. I was saying that we want it to be as balanced, as fair and balanced as Fox News. That's why we were devoting 1 hour to the conservative point of view. And his viewpoint was that what Fox News says is true because it would be against the law for them to lie.
It's on TV. You can't lie. Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that incredible? But I think everybody suffers from that to one extent or another, though.
The whole country suffers from it right now because that's that's the way people are, you know?
I mean, I have to admit that I was seriously snookered by certain bits of the fabricated evidence that the Pentagon, in conjunction with Israeli intelligence, created to sell the war to the entire world. I was snookered.
So was the New York Times.
I was snookered by Judith Miller's. I believed that shit.
Yeah.
That Judith Miller wrote in the New York Times. I believed it for a long time, a really long time.
Well, and now we're getting fed another bunch of lies. I mean, all week long, and that they're going to be featuring it, and it's absurd. One thing I was wondering is, you guys are following the PBS feed tonight.
Yeah.
Did they happen to show the cheesy Saturday Night Live intro?
I missed it. I haven't been paying attention. I'm starting to realize that I'm not the best person for doing the audio hijack because I just have so much trouble stomaching it.
Right.
I'm not prepared. And tonight, anyway, I'm not prepared. See, on Thursday night, what we're going to do is we're actually not going to carry much of the sound at all. But when there's pundits sitting around talking, we will provide the audio for pundits sitting around talking. When Bush is speaking, we will provide the audio for Bush speaking. When there's a commercial on, we will provide the audio for a commercial.
Yeah.
So, but tonight, you know, we're just kind of weaving in and out. And I don't know. I'd just rather talk to people and play music than subject myself to the lies.
Well, you know, the idea of playing all the 9/11 tributes is, I mean, what a great...
Well, did you hear the first one?
I did.
Okay, I think I got another one queued up here. Let's give it a listen. You tell me what you think. Okay? Here we go.
Here we stand with saddened hearts, and we send our prayers to those who passed away.
Man, there's no shortage of coasters laying around the studio tonight.
Listen to that kid's voice.
But as we face the darkest time that we have.
Whoa. See? You see?
It's
see what I'm saying?
It's a sad state of affairs.
Whew. Wow.
Well,
you know, everybody tried to capitalize from 9/11.
So much profiteering going on.
You know?
I was going to say, I work in a radio station, and we've been inundated with those things as well. And
yeah, I decided immediately that I didn't want to hear any of them, but I wanted to save them all, and that's what I did. And these literally are the first ones since 9/11 that I've pulled out to listen to.
It's an eerie snapshot of the times in which we find ourselves.
Here was one. This one was interesting. We got one by the Punk Patriots. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Punk Patriots sent us a CD, and here are the titles from the Punk Patriots. Give War a Chance, Liars, Frauds, and Hypocrites, Appeaser's Mirror, Volcanic Pussy, Something to Fight About, and Go to Hell.
Like a Toby Keith release.
Yeah, this sounds really promising. Let's listen to some of the Punk Patriots now. This is called Go to Hell.
Go to Hell, go to Hell, go to Hell, go to Hell, go to Hell. Pseudo intellectual, you're so full of yourself. Go to Hell, go to Hell.
Who?
Huh.
Okay, something.
So we can expect more of the same throughout the evening.
Give War a Chance. Should we hear Give War a Chance by the Punk Patriots?
Why not?
Oh, no, it's like a come together parody or something.
Wow.
It's really nasty, isn't it?
You should put that Lennon in his place. So,
chick.
Did anyone from FMU get press credentials for the Garden this week?
You know, we actually have somebody who's not an FMU staff member, but a friend of the station, cartoonist Ward Sutton, who did have a pass, and unfortunately I didn't even get a chance to check in on my email tonight to see. He might have been there tonight, but maybe before the night's out I can check with him and see if we can call him.
But I'd like to hear about the big Lynyrd Skynyrd party last night, too.
Was that last night?
Yeah.
And it was right next to Scores, too.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so you know that all the Republican fat cats are going from the Lynyrd Skynyrd party, you know.
To save the cab fare.
Yeah, to stuff $100 bills in strippers' G-strings at Scores.
It's our tax dollars at work.
Buy a few votes that way.
I also wanted to thank FMU for the additional stuff on your website. The RNC-related links in the photo gallery are just classic.
Oh yeah, a lot of the stuff in the photo gallery, a lot of the art is by this guy from San Diego named Goat Skull, by the way. I should have put up a credit to him, but he was cool with us putting his stuff up, but I just haven't put the credit up yet.
Very cool.
But you can Google for him, Goat Skull, and there's he's on sites with tons and tons of great art.
Excellent.
So you want to hear Steve Farrell's The Day the Angels Came?
I thought you'd never ask.
There were friends once had.
They're all just such obvious attempts to grab cash, man.
I'm feeling sad.
Man, that guy's really painful.
This is brutal.
Whoa.
Put Bush back on.
Wow. Yeah, we do have, you know, we have a lot of good music. That's the thing. But
well,
this stuff is just kind of screaming to be heard. I don't know. You know, I suppose it would have been better for me to have gone through it and found the best and the worst of it. But, you know, that would have required a lot of time.
Right. Now, is this Ken that I'm talking to?
Yeah.
So another part of the schedule that I was really interested in is tomorrow's FCC and decency rules.
Yeah, I'm doing that tomorrow morning from 9 to noon.
Can you give us any kind of an idea what you have planned?
Yeah, I've dug out a whole bunch of different songs and a comedy bit that generated FCC fines and created, you know, legal cases about illegal speech or what's called indecent speech.
Going back, how far did you?
Well, I guess the earliest one I have is the George Carlin, the famous 7 words you can't say on television and radio. And that was a case that went to the Supreme Court. So I'll be playing that, and then I'll be playing a whole bunch of other songs that have generated FCC cases. And we'll be playing them, the uncensored versions, as well as in some cases, because it's interesting, the censored version. And then we'll be talking beginning at about 10 o'clock with WFMU's FCC attorney Harry Cole. Who I've spoken to on the air on WFMU proper twice before on my Wednesday morning show. So, that's going to be most of the show, but not all of the show. At the beginning, I don't have enough material to... I wasn't able to find every single song that ever generated an FCC fine, unfortunately.
Sounds great. Have you guys done these exclusively webcasted programs before?
No, this is our first attempt at it.
It's such a good idea to...
Yeah, it's going really well.
Really,
I mean,
use some free speech.
It's really been by the seat of our pants, and as you heard, if you heard the beginning of the show tonight, we didn't even know we were on the air.
Right.
For I don't know how long, 10 minutes or something? Maybe not that long, but...
I didn't hear that long of it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It really has been a lot of fun. It's wonderful to be doing radio without the FCC hanging over you.
I can only imagine.
It's really hard for me to curse because I've done radio for so long and not been able to curse for so many years, for decades, that now that I'm allowed to, I just... In fact, overall, I just don't curse a lot anyway.
Yeah. Well, Radman certainly got right into the spirit of it.
That was incredible. You see how quickly the fragile threads that hold society together and keep people being civil to one another, you see how quickly those can be rended asunder.
And it's his FCC that's protecting us.
And people are at each other's throats.
From the cock stomping.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to do Conservative Corner every day. And if you are conservative and you're listening, please call me up on Conservative Corner, noon to 1. Hopefully I'll be doing it tomorrow as well.
So will it be Radman every day?
No. Oh, no. No, no, no. Radman just one day. I don't know what we're doing tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. But thanks a lot for your call. I'm going to grab another call now.
Thanks for talking,
okay,
man.
Bye-bye.
Keep up the good work.
Hi, you're on the stream.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Ken?
Yeah, how you doing?
Oh, it's Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Oh, this is more than a 7-second delay.
What's that?
More than a 7-second delay, but look at this Navy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Out. Hey, there's good stuff on the TV. Hang on a second.
Yeah, really. Put that on, man.
Okay.
Well, I'll let you get back to your... There you go.
Wow.
This is great. Now I'm glad I tuned in.
What do we have going on here? A Marines infomercial?
Yeah, but you can't simulcast, huh?
No, we can do that Thursday night, but on the web there ain't no such thing as simulcasting because of the delay.
Oh.
What's known as the propagation delay.
And the station didn't want to give itself over to a radio broadcast?
Well, we left it optional to the DJs. And, you know, some of the DJs wanted to do stuff related to the RNC remix on their show, and others just wanted to give us their time slot, like Dave the Spaz on Thursday night for W's coronation.
This is horrible.
It's better than the 9/11 CDs I was playing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, there must be something better than what you played.
Damn, this is really bad stuff.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah,
I thank the president for this.
Yeah, I can't take it. I just can't take it.
Oh. So now, you can't address this on the air? Or on
address
the,
what?
What we're seeing now.
Yeah, well, we're seeing, like, you know, okay, I can barely make it out because I get such bad over-the-air reception. There's the staged Iwo Jima photograph.
Yeah.
Which you know, because you're a professional photographer, that the famous Iwo Jima photograph from World War II of the guys, the American soldiers pushing up the flag on the top of Iwo Jima, that was a staged photograph, was it not?
Well, the photographer was embedded.
But they actually redid it.
That's right. Well, apparently he got there too late.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Rosenberg. But,
And, of course, another famous photograph from the Iraq War that was staged was the U.S. The Iraqis pulling over the statue of Saddam Hussein in Baghdad.
Yeah. Did you read the Times yesterday about how bad things are? Front-page story?
I actually, because of the RNC remix, I haven't been reading the paper the last couple of days, but I have been following the war very, very closely.
Well, it's pretty grim, but obviously the voters who are going to vote for this guy aren't following this because...
It's too complicated for most people to understand, I think.
Well...
I really do.
What about the enemies that are being made?
Oh, isn't that the most incredible thing? That George W. Bush is just printing terrorists... As fast as he can do it, boy.
And claiming that he's making the world safer and that it's harder for terrorists to act.
Yeah, I mean, he is just Osama bin Laden's best friend. The way he is recruiting terrorists. You know, I mean, at the beginning of the war, I think it was a fairly small percentage of the population of a lot of Arab countries that supported Osama bin Laden. And now, in countries like Saudi Arabia, now it's like 95%. Of the population there supports Osama bin Laden.
Well, here's what I thought. I thought that after 9/11, we probably had more sympathy from all parts of the world than we would have ever had, and it's just been quickly dissipated.
Yeah, and beyond dissipated. If the sympathy had simply dried up, it would have been bad enough. But the sympathy didn't dry up. It was turned into murderous venom for the United States. And we're doing nothing. We're doing nothing to try to really defeat terrorism. We're just making it worse and worse and worse. I just think that's the thing that astounds me, that just for the reasons of 9/11 and the Iraq War alone, I'm still baffled how people can still want to vote for Nader or not be compelled to vote because John Kerry's such a horrible, mediocre, pathetic politician.
I couldn't believe that he... couldn't they ask the question of whether, had they not found support for the weapons of mass destruction, that he wouldn't have therefore supported the going to war.
I know, he's fucking...
He equivocated on that as well.
He's fucking pathetic. It's just horrible. You know, and I think it's okay to detest John Kerry. You know, but you got to stop the bleeding of the Bush administration, which is quickly hurtling us towards annihilation by creating terrorists as fast as it can possibly be done. And then doing nothing to deal with it.
Well, just continuing to send smart bombs. I mean, they wanted to get this guy, what was his name? The young cleric.
Muqtada al-Sadr?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we really defeated Muqtada al-Sadr. You know, he's becoming the most popular politician in the entire Shiite Muslim world. You know, we just created another one, just like we created Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan, and we created Saddam Hussein by funding him and sending him biological and chemical weapons as he was fighting Iran. We just create these guys over and over and over again.
I think this is the biggest mess there has been.
Yeah, this is a huge mess. This is a really nasty, terrible mess. And a lot of people have said to me, you know, a lot of the listeners that I've spoken to just in the last couple of days doing this, there's clearly a disgust with the Democratic Party and with John Kerry, and I definitely sympathize with that. But I just don't know how much worse it has to get before you realize that something has to be done to stop this, where George Bush concocted evidence. The Pentagon concocted evidence to go to war with Iraq, and Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Nothing to do with it.
Did you read the piece in The New Yorker about the plans that were made for the Spanish train bombing?
No.
They were actually made before the Gulf War started.
Uh-huh.
They were long in plan. And in fact, one of the inspirations for this whole Muslim fundamentalism is actually going back hundreds of years to the defeat of Islamic culture by Christian culture in Europe. And so there's been this, I guess, smoldering resentment. And now you've got all the Muslim people that are living in Europe, and you know, they're totally part of the population there, much more so than here.
Yeah, there's a billion Muslims in the world. A billion. You know, isn't that astounding? It's not like we're offending this small sliver of the global population. Jan, you know what? Somebody else is on the line.
Okay.
So I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you for calling.
Well, I hope other people are listening.
And I will do my best to try to bring back the television audio. It's
okay.
Hard, though. I think somebody's getting ready to speak.
Okay.
See you, Jan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to compliment y'all. Well, I guess it's not really great radio, but great broadcasting, whatever.
Streaming. I think it's still radio.
Yeah. And I also wanted to say that Secretary of Bow Hunting is perhaps the funniest thing I've heard all day.
What's that?
Ted Nugent, Secretary of Bow Hunting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right, when Radman was assigning the rock and roll cabinet.
Secretary of Bow Hunting. I've been laughing about that all day long.
I can't remember what Axl Rose was. I have to find that.
Well,
Axl Rose's title.
Rock started sucking around 1991, was it? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember. I have it written down upstairs. But, boy, Radman just lets out one gem after another.
You have to get him back on the air.
Yeah.
I beg.
Okay. I'll take that as a vote in favor of getting Radman back on the air. Maybe he'll call back on Conservative's Corner. Or I can call him up again on Conservative. Oh, actually, we're retitling it Conservative's Corral.
Yeah, I'm also begging people to not vote for Nader. Because, I beg you.
Yeah, we're hearing that a lot. We're hearing a lot of people who are voting for Kerry begging the Nader voters to not vote for Nader.
I mean, there's even a website called John Kerry is a douchebag, but I'm voting for him anyway, .com.
Exactly.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I have seen that website.
Yeah.
And truer words have never been spoken.
It's true. I don't think there's a truer URL out there.
I voted for Nader in 2000. I understand the desire. I understand the hatred that people have of the Democratic Party and politicians like John Kerry. But, you know, when you're bleeding to death and all you have is a rubber band and not a proper tourniquet, then you got to use the rubber band to save your life. And that's kind of the situation we're in now, I think.
I was in Florida. I don't think I could risk voting for Nader ever.
Yeah.
A Dade County resident.
Yeah, I mentioned before that I only voted for Nader in 2000 because New Jersey seemed like it was going to safely go to Gore. But I still feel guilty about it because I feel like I just encouraged him. You know, if nobody had voted for him in 2000, he wouldn't be running in 2004.
Yeah.
But I do sympathize with the arguments that they make about their right to vote, but just this is not the year. The situation is too serious.
But Nader's kind of a prick. He's sort of vindictive. You hear all these stories about him.
Oh, yeah, he's a real hypocrite. He's a hypocrite like all of them.
And he has that shifty face. It's even worse than Bush. He just doesn't look trustworthy.
Yeah. I got to say that W is really entertaining. I mean, he really is one of the funnest presidents in a long time.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Just in terms of pure entertainment, the things that come out of his mouth, you know, and actually I don't like the idea of, you know, trying to portray him as a total moron, because it's irrelevant. The people behind him who are really calling the shots, those people are brilliant. Those people are evil geniuses, and they are not stupid at all.
Are you kidding? Karl Rove? I don't even want to...
Yeah,
oh.
Karl Rove, Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Richard Perle, in the Pentagon, Stephen Cambone and Douglas Feith. The people who are really calling the shots are brilliant. They ain't stupid. So,
no kidding. It just terrifies me.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm a new listener to WFMU, and I'm addicted to it.
Oh, how did you discover us?
A music critic actually told me about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's a zine editor.
Oh, cool.
Thanks
for your call. I think we have another call now.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Ken.
Hi.
This is Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Okay. I'm actually calling about Punk Patriots, a CD that I actually have. One of the people credited as being a backup singer on the Jewel case is a neocon, a very cultured one, actually.
Uh-huh.
And he gave it to me because he didn't like the stuff outside the politics.
So what else do you recommend we hear from the Punk
nothing.
Patriots?
Give
War a chance. That was something, boy.
I haven't played it in years. There was like one or two decent music breaks in it, but all the stuff was just awful. And I when I heard that you had it on the air, it just blew me away. So I figured I'd...
Now, you want to know something else? We got some really twisted 9/11 CDs after 9/11 also. I mean, just like, you know, it's just from every possible stripe, we were getting these 9/11 CDs coming in at us. And this is one by a guy named Chris Korda. And I'm really scared. I'm really scared to put this on. Because
this is a different one.
This is a different one.
Uh-huh.
We've been playing, in case you're just tuning into the RNC Remix tonight, we've been playing some of the 9/11 CDs that have arrived at WFMU since September 11, 2001. And this one is not hyper-patriotic. I'm not going to go into the details on the cover art, but my guess, based on the cover art, is that this is somebody who had some kind of sexual fantasy.
Uh-huh.
Related to 9/11.
You mean like big buildings coming down and something like that?
Well, he's just like, there's tongue. Let me just say that there's twin towers, there's tongue action. It's really horrible and twisted, so I'm going to put it on, but I might have to bail out if it turns my stomach too much.
Well, it might.
Are you with me?
Well, I'm adventurous.
Okay, so what's your name again?
Bob.
Okay, Bob, so we're going to put it on. This is Chris Korda, and I like to watch. Oh, it almost has like a Gary Wilson thing.
Well,
I put my hand in my pocket. What do I feel? 110 stories of concrete and steel. I like to watch. That plane-shaped pole really gets me hot. But the big ball of fire is the money shot. I like to watch.
Wow, Bob, are you scared?
I think the quality of my phone is even worse than that on my computer.
I like to watch the flame shooting out. People dive into the street while I play with my meat. My steel melted and my tower is coming down.
Oh! Whoa!
I would think there's got to be better stuff than this.
Oh, man. Well, at least it delivers on the promise of its cover art. Oh, God!
It almost should be karaoke. I mean, if you take out the audio track, you might be able to do something with the beats in it.
Yeah, it sounded a lot like Gary Wilson at first.
Yeah, I also wanted to comment on Kerry, who I think is running a fairly lame campaign.
He really is. Makes you long for Bill Clinton, doesn't it?
No, not really, but...
As a campaigner, it does.
Oh, the guy was a tremendous campaigner. No question about that. I mean, if you can... He's sort of like a typical Democrat. I'm not as down on him as some of the listeners that you were reporting on. I mean, Ashcroft will not be Attorney General, and Rumsfeld will not be... whatever he is, defense warmonger, and we will have decent judges and some environmental protections. We may have Clean Air Act renewed and enforced.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's as horrible as the Democrats are, there are major differences. Major differences. I can't get over people who buy the notion that the Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans. So just... Different levels of badness.
Well, different levels of corporate indebtedness.
And danger. Actually, I don't know. I don't even know if I agree with that. I think they're both totally in bed with corporate America. And corporate America control both parties. But I just think that this Republican administration is far more dangerous than any other Republican administration there's ever been. And it's far more dangerous than any Democratic administration there's ever been.
Oh, far more.
I mean, this Republican administration is in a class... By itself. Which if Nixon in the state that he was in when he was president, or Reagan in the state that he was in when he was president, if either of them were running against Bush, I would be sending money to them and putting their bumper stickers on my car.
Wow.
I just... If you want to read a really good book that I think spells out just how dangerous these people are, I read one over the summer, which is by James Bamford, and it's called Pretext for War. He's one of the country's experts on the intelligence agencies like the CIA and the National Security Agency, as well as the Pentagon's own intelligence units. And we actually have the audio book of it. At some point, we might play a few of the chapters from the audio book during the stream.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But that's an amazing book that goes into just how dangerous this administration is.
I read American Dynasty, which actually was a little too intellectual for me. I didn't understand a lot of the stuff Kevin Phillips was writing in it.
Well, Pretext for War is really, really well written, and it's very easy for lay people to understand it, I think. It's a great, simply written, well-documented, well-researched book. And mostly what it goes into is the fabrication of the evidence that led to war.
And
the degree to which 9/11 was consciously used as an excuse to attack Iraq, which had been an idea on the table prior even to the first Gulf War.
Does the author postulate that some of this Iraq stuff was to stem off potential losses in Congress and the governorships by the Republicans in the off-year elections of 2002?
No, no.
It certainly seemed that way to me.
There's no crazy conspiracy theories in this book. I mean, he really goes into the individuals in this administration who came up with the idea. And the roots of it really go back very far. The roots of it go back, the neoconservative movement goes back to
the
60s. It goes back to the 60s. It really does.
Yes, yes. I was thinking more about, you know, this world peace through never-ending war, as Zion likes to say.
Right.
But yes, it does go back to the 60s.
And these guys had been, they had this plan written up for years and years and years, and they just decided, you know, when 9/11 hit, to just go for it, to implement the plan.
Well, I don't mean to push the point, but I did read some stuff coming out of Karl Rove's operation that some of this may have been calculated to the election when they thought they were going to lose control of the Senate.
Unfortunately, when you see the stuff they've done, it gets very scary because you kind of realize, or I feel, that this administration would do just about anything if they didn't think they were going to get caught in order to get reelected. That the only mitigating factor determining what they would do or would not do is really just whether they would think they could get away with it or not.
Well, that could be. They resisted everything from the 9/11 commission to releasing documents to even forming the Homeland Security Department, which I don't know if that's such a good idea. But
I don't think any of it is going to address the real problems. But, you know, Bob, we got another caller on the line.
Okay.
So thanks for calling.
No, thank you.
And keep listening.
I sure will.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Ken. How's it going? This
Good.
Is Zach.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, that Bob guy's got a great voice for radio.
Yeah, he does.
He needs to call back on Conservative Corner or one of these other ones.
Yeah, and sorry that I went all Chris Matthews on you today.
No, don't be sorry for anything. That was a whole lot of fun. No, that was a kick, man. In fact, actually, the first thing I was calling about was just, although it's somewhat delayed now because you guys were talking, but I enjoyed your talking on. It seemed like an apropos follow-up to that Chris song thing that you just played.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, the sexual fantasy about 9/11.
Right, would be the Emerson, Lake, and Palmer quote. I guess Fabio somewhat infamously played a couple weeks before the last marathon about, you know, when we're in New York. Do you have that handy?
No.
Oh, too bad. I was trying to dig it out of the archive. I just wouldn't be able to do it fast enough. I just don't remember. I'm not sure if that would help you because it would just be the real stream. But that's a very brutal, I guess it's a station ID, actually.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's, well, you know, when we're in New York listening to WFMU or something, I seem to remember WFMU being in there as if it were a station ID, you know, a guest station ID, but I don't know if that would be worth pulling up for any of the things.
Okay, Pamplona, it's time for us to hear another 9/11 CD. I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. You're doing a great job. I had some other questions for me, but I'll just email them to you.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. What the email them?
What your other questions are?
Well, you know, I picked up this book last Friday about, it's called Bush Country. Have you heard of it?
No.
By John Poderetz.
John Poderetz. There's so many books out. It's just unbelievable. And documentaries, too.
Right. Well, it seems to be like Conservative Corner fair. I just thought, I don't know if it would be worth even trying to work something up out of it. You know, it's all these different angles. Maybe I'll email you with more detail.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, take care, Ken. Doing
okay.
A great job. Bye.
See you, Pampalone.
Okay, bye.
This is the RNC remix here on WFMU, or not exactly on WFMU proper, but on our website. Phone number here is 201-209-9368. We're waiting for Rudy Giuliani or John McCain to come on the TV, but it ain't happening yet. Hi, you're on the air.
Whoa. Now, is this the radio stream or is this the internet stream?
This is the internet stream.
This is the internet stream?
Yeah.
Right, I'm listening to it now, but I guess there's a delay, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Big delay.
Big delay.
Yep.
Good. Well, listen, I'm calling with a challenge.
Okay.
To you and the listeners out there. And I feel like, in a lot of ways, the Republican Party has been so successful because part of their strategy has been to divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, I think, you know, I'm hearing they don't like Kerry, but they're supporting him because, you know, he's the better of two evils.
He's anybody but Bush.
Anybody
yeah.
but Bush.
Yeah.
And I think that if we could be more unified and get behind Kerry,
I'm behind Kerry in my own way.
Sure.
But I feel like you can't pretend that the guy's an appealing figure.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, rather than singing his praises, I think it's important to focus on just how dangerous this administration is, especially with regard to foreign policy. Because what they are doing around the world, we are going to be paying severe consequences for.
Definitely. And I agree with you 100% there. But I think that the challenge is to find something in Kerry that we like and try to emphasize those qualities, because that's the only way I think that he's going to be elected. You know, like to show the Republican Party for what it is and what they have been and what this administration is, but also to build Kerry in. Because, I mean, I think...
Well, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough. As a politician, forget about the whole Vietnam bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, as a politician, what has he done?
Well, I think that's the problem with politicians in general. Anybody
that's why I feel like going negative is the way to convince people. Talk about just how dangerous the Bush administration is.
Yeah.
And how they're not only not addressing terrorism, but they are making the terrorism problem infinitely worse.
Definitely. I think what Bush has done in Iraq is created a breeding ground, you know, for terror.
That's putting it mildly. it ain't just a breeding ground. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. I'm just thinking about what you just said.
You know something that's amazing is a while ago I read somewhere that the U.S. military was showing a movie to the troops in Iraq as a training film. Mm-hmm. And the movie was by Pontecorvo. It's called The Battle of Algiers. It's about the war for Algerian independence in the 60s.
Yeah.
After about 150 years of being a French colonial power. And I had never seen it. I was always curious about it. So I rented it and I watched it this summer. And I couldn't believe that this is the movie that the military is showing its troops in Iraq.
Right.
Because what I came away with from that movie was that anything that the French did then, or anything we're doing now to fight the terrorists, is just going to help them. It's just making it worse and worse and worse. And that is usually how it goes when a colonial power tries to put down a local movement.
Right.
Of the indigenous people, they just end up blindly killing people and creating terrorists where there were none before.
Well, I can't believe that people in this country stand for something that we can do these things overseas, and they would never stand for it here. If somebody tried to come to this country and take away all of our weapons, which is, and that's what part of subduing, you know, a country.
Yeah. What if
is.
They came here and arrested people who were either guilty of only very small crimes or no crimes at all, and tortured them and electrified their genitals?
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that hasn't happened in this country. I think that has happened.
But if a foreign power came to the United States and just threw people in jail for no reason, and even the army acknowledged that 60% of the people in Abu Ghraib had committed no serious crime.
Sure.
That was the army's own estimate. 60%.
Yeah.
The Red Cross thought it was 80%.
Yeah.
Well, and there were people there getting electrified and raped and tortured and killed.
Yeah, it's sickening.
I mean, what more does it take? What more does it take? But, you know, but realizing how serious the situation is, and that regardless of how crappy Kerry is, he's the guy who can possibly put an end to at least things going downhill so fast.
Well, here's what I was wondering. Like, I think it would have been a very powerful message to the Republicans. And if over this past weekend, during all the protests that happened, that occurred in New York City, if all those protesters were there carrying Kerry for President signs, like, if that just, you know, if it just It would just deafen the Republican
Party.
Yeah,
that would be nice. You know, I agree with you. It would be nice if there was a candidate who had a more appealing characteristics.
Yeah.
And if there was, I think that if Bill Clinton was running against Bush right now, he'd be way ahead. It wouldn't be a deadlocked race the way it is now.
Yeah.
With Bush pulling ahead. And I'm sure that by the end of this week, Bush is going to be way ahead.
Yeah.
Because Karl Rove knows what he's doing.
Well, I'm hoping Kerry and Edwards just clobber. I hope the American people, I hope it's so overwhelmingly in favor of Kerry at this next election that it just sends a clear message.
It's going to be close. Regardless of who wins, it's going to be incredibly close.
Yeah.
And I think another reason I think that people who are perhaps not voting or thinking about voting for Nader, another thing to try to convince them, I think, is just to make it harder for the Republican Party to steal the second presidential election in a row.
You're right.
You know, and I'm not saying that the Republicans are the only ones who've stolen elections, because the Democrats have stolen their share of plenty of elections.
Yeah.
In even presidential elections, like 1960 when Kennedy beat Nixon.
Yeah.
It was pretty much widely documented that that election was stolen by Joseph Kennedy's money.
Well, I think part of it is the nature of politics. I mean, I don't know when historically has politics ever been a clean, you know, business. It's always been dirty, and it always will be dirty. And the dirtiest person always wins.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what politics is, and that's the people who are attracted to it, because that's the stakes involved, you know, the president of the most powerful country in the world.
Yeah, but as well documented as it was in 60 that the Democrats stole that election, it's equally well documented that the Republicans stole 2000, and they're trying as hard as they can to steal 2004.
I hope I won't see that.
Yeah, I hope I won't see it too. It would be awfully depressing.
Yeah.
If they, but the dirty tricks that they are pulling already all over the country, like what they pulled in Florida with the felons list.
Yeah.
They are trying to do that all over the country.
Yeah.
And they're doing all sorts of things like that. They have dirty tricks that we don't even know about.
Well, I think the Democrats could pull out some dirty tricks and use them on the Republicans. I hope that they do.
I wish they could just use the truth. You know, you look at the truth of what's going on in the world now, and isn't it amazing? Like, isn't this enough? What does it take? What does it take to try to, but before more people don't feel the need to get Bush out of there? Do we have to have concentration camps again? You know, and after the next terrorist attack, I think that's where we're headed. We're probably, you know, if there's another big, or even a small terrorist attack pulled off by Islamic psychos, we're going to probably have internment camps.
Well, see, I think there's plenty of people in this country. I mean, I honestly do think there are people in this country who would be fine with that.
Yeah, there is a percentage. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard people say, and it shocks me. I'm a reservist in the military.
Uh-huh.
And
good for you.
And it's been, you know, it's been almost a year.
How come you're not over there?
How come I'm not over there?
Yeah.
Well, actually, the other day, a few weeks ago, I thought that it had happened because I got a letter in the mail that was sent certified, and that's often how they'll notify you that you've been called up, but luckily it wasn't that. It was just my regular drill schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But,
wow, I'm curious, because I thought if you were in the reserves, I thought that they had just called pretty much everybody. I thought they were hurting so hard for soldiers.
Right.
That they had called up the entire reserves, but that's not the case?
No.
Wow.
No. But I've heard people say, you know, and this is a guy who was in the auxiliary, and, you know, he's sort of like, I don't know, it's kind of a pseudo branch, I would say, but they get pretty excited. But I was having lunch. This was one of my first weekends going in, and I was talking to this guy, and he was an older guy. But when he said that, you know, we came up talking about Iraq, he was like, "Yeah, I think we should just drop the bomb and just annihilate the whole area." And he was serious.
No, a lot of people feel that way.
And that just blows my mind that people would think that kind of mentality. I mean, it's that mentality that drives the rest of the world to hate us.
Right.
You know, we should just drop the bomb. And I felt like he had no idea of the consequences of what he was saying.
Speaking of internment camps and the whole kill them all, let God sort them out mentality.
Right, right.
We got a record after 9/11 called Round Up the Towelheads by Timmy Turlock and the Turbinators. So let's give this a listen. It's another horrifying-looking 9/11 CD that we got that I was too scared to listen to. And for some reason, what's your name, by the way?
My name's Thelonious.
Thelonious. Okay, so here it is.
Terrifying
ambulance.
Any questions?
Round up the towelheads. We'll have a barrel of fun. Run down Bin Laden, hiding in Afghanistan. Me and my buddies don't care how much time it takes. Long time ago, in a faraway land, a man named Bin Laden was working in the sand. Thinking about his problems, he became an angry man. Then and there, he decided he's gonna make a plan. He got himself some buddies, and they got them a clan. Hiding around the corners, them niggas from the sand. Learn to fly.
Well, Thelonious, that's about all I can take.
Yeah, really.
And I'm glad I have an answer song.
An answer song?
Yeah, this is my answer song to that. It's called Attention Republicans, Go Fuck Yourselves.
That's a great answer song.
By the Grays. Let me see. And what we just heard... What we just heard was Round Up the Towelheads by Timmy Turlock and the Turbinators.
Attention! Oh. Republicans!
So, Thelonious, you know, Lou is doing the 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. show tonight.
Uh-huh.
And he served in the military.
Sure.
He actually served overseas in military intelligence, I think.
Attention!
So, you must be scared that you're going to get called up.
No, I'm not scared. I mean, it's part of the bargain.
And if you're called up, you'll go.
Yeah.
And aren't they pretty much anybody who's over there? I don't understand all the rules.
Right.
Do you understand all the rules? The way they're like extending people's terms and all that.
I read a good article, I think, in the New York Times a couple days ago. They described it as kind of a backdoor draft.
Yeah. Do you agree with that?
That's what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally what it is. They're violating people's contracts. But I'm not in the Army. And this affects... The Army is the one with...
So you're the National Guard?
No, I'm in the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard, okay.
And the Army is... the Army is the one that's hurting the most severely. You know, I mean, and they're the ones that the Army and the Marines are the ones that are most directly. Those guys are the ones that are most directly in harm's way.
Uh huh.
And you know.
And how about they just released? Bush announced a neat parlor trick that he was bringing home 70,000 soldiers from Europe and Asia.
Uh huh.
And I assume that just one way or another, they're not coming home. They're going to Iraq. Does that seem to be the case from your vantage point?
I don't know what that plan, how that plan is, but it's definitely a realignment in our military power, with the focus being we need more power. You know, that's where the most bleeding is taking place, is in Iraq.
Oh yeah,
and that's where they need to put more cannon fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I think we're going to be there for a long time.
Well, I think even Kerry's plan, where he called for bringing the troops home, didn't call for bringing them home until, like, 2008.
No, Kerry wouldn't bring them home right away.
Right.
We fucked things up so badly over there.
But the thing that Kerry won't do, I believe that Kerry will not attack Syria and Iran right away. I think if Bush gets elected these next 4 years, what has he got to lose? Why don't we go after Iran? Why don't we go after Syria?
Well, it's just like he's screwed up that region now, and he's primed the pump for a giant regional war.
Yeah.
You know, involving Turkey and Iran and Saudi Arabia and Iraq. And I think I unfortunately think that's what's going to happen. I don't want the people who created that situation trying to fix it. They're the ones who created it out of thin air.
Sure.
Well, you know, we got a whole bunch of other people calling.
All right. Good luck with your show tonight, and
thanks,
I really
Polonius.
Enjoy it.
Thanks
God's
a lot.
You guys doing an incredible job.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Hi, you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
You're on the stream.
I'm on the RNC stream?
You're on the RNC stream.
Wow. Hey, I'm unemployed, you know, and since George Bush is kind of screwing with overtime, I don't think I want to go back to work. I don't know what that's going to do to the economy.
Where do you live?
I'm in Massachusetts, Springfield.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Those things down in Jersey.
Well, how are things in Jersey? I got carted by a cop with a machine gun.
Oh, this is Cosmic Cowboy.
No, this is not Cosmic Cowboy. This is Ken. Cosmic Cowboy's in the house.
Yeah, how's he? I heard about that.
Yeah, the Cosmic Cowboy got arrested for riding his bicycle on Friday night. No, I was just coming to work this morning, and I had to... go through a small cordon of, they couldn't have been Jersey City police. You know, that's the interesting thing. You see these guys with machine guns, and they're policemen of some sort. I'm not even sure who they were, okay? But they're standing there, and they ask me for my papers, you know, something that I associate with Nazi Germany. Not that I'm saying this is Nazi Germany, but when I think of, like, authorities asking to see your papers, I think of that scene in Cabaret where the Nazis are going through the train car asking everybody for their papers. Well, I got asked for my papers this morning for the first time by two soldiers, cops, I don't know what they were or who they worked for exactly, asking me for ID.
Yeah, I've been shaken down all sorts of ways when I was like a teenager, you know, out late at night and stuff, but when you're just trying to make the commute, kind of puts things into a different perspective.
Yeah, well, you know, they got that intelligence about how the terrorists want to hit a financial center. So surround the neighborhood that we're in here in Jersey City, it has a lot of financial targets.
Hey, here's one that a potential lead that got buried up here in Massachusetts in Watertown. Somebody pipe bombed a stem cell research lab.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you heard about that, but that
no,
happened
No, so it was abortion crazies.
Yeah, and you think the Department of Homeland Security is kind of putting that one on the bottom of their in pile, or what?
So they didn't do anything?
I haven't heard anything about it. I found it somewhere on the internet, you know. You guys have been really great with your website, hooking me up with all kinds of progressive
stuff. Oh, good, thanks.
Yeah, and, you know, following the links. And, you know, I'm not saying that I was devouring the local media around here, but I feel like, you know, I didn't hear a snippet about it. You know, I leave a bunch of radios on and things, you know, local.
Uh-huh.
Public radios, yeah. And so, I'm just wondering, you know, with all this concern over commuters, you know, who's gonna, you know, protect us from people that are kind of taking some of these platform issues a little too far? You know,
the terrorists are wily.
Yeah. So,
they live among us. They move freely. They go where we go.
Yeah, it's like Michael Savage likes to say, the enemy within, when he's out there. You know, I almost wanted to call the FCC on this guy one time because he's got his heavy metal karaoke thing going. He's chanting, death to liberals. Now, you know, this guy wants people dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, where do you draw the line, you know? But, of course, he's slinging whatever mud he can create or...
Well, thanks a lot for your call.
Hey,
I'm going to move on to another call now.
Have a good evening.
Thanks a lot. You know, I'm also been like trying to watch what's happening on Channel 13. And am I imagining it, or have they not had a single speech? I thought tonight was the big night. I thought Giuliani was speaking. I thought McCain was speaking. Did I miss it, or it's like been the pre-game show for 2 hours? on Channel 13. I thought we were going to use some of the audio from the television tonight, but I have not seen a speech. It's like it's all one nonstop Republican infomercial. That's what it seems like. I haven't been listening to it because it's a little hard to stomach. Anyway, this is the RNC remix. It's just before 10 o'clock here. Ken with you till 11 o'clock tonight, and then Lou is doing 2 hours of political hip-hop. Scott's on the air tonight right now till 11. And we're just chatting the night away. Phone number here is 201-209-9368. I will be on the air again tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. to noon, and Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to noon. Tomorrow morning I'll be doing my FCC Indecency show, playing examples of songs that have generated federal language fines, and talking to our FCC lawyer freely, I might add. We will be able to use the words instead of euphemisms, the words that the FCC finds so objectionable. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, boss, what's up?
How you doing?
Pretty cool, dude. I got a pretty interesting Rush story.
Uh-huh. A Rush story?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Rush Limbaugh.
Come on, boss. I'm right with you.
Okay, go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let me just lower the radio for you in case you put me on.
You're on.
No, I'm not. You're playing Sabbath.
No, you're on the stream.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You might be referring to something Scott was talking about or playing. That's what I have the feeling.
Yeah, I'm listening to FMU.
Oh, yeah, no, this is our stream.
Oh, shit. So, I got the wrong number?
Yeah, for tonight, you got the wrong number. If you want to talk to Scott, you should call 201-200-9368.
It is 200, shit.
Yeah, shit.
Shit, goddamn.
Fucking 200.
Shit, goddamn. Get off your ass and jam.
God damn it.
So should I call back the
200
number?
Oh, fuck! I said God damn it!
That's not good. Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit, you said fuck! Oh, no.
Should I call back the 200 number or talk to you? What do you think?
Because we're on the air, so that's why it's such a fucking problem, because we're on the air, you and me, right now.
All right, man.
And we keep cursing.
All right, so here.
Fuck. Oh, shit, I said fuck again. Oh, damn it.
Is that legal or what?
Oh, fuck, I don't even know, man. Oh, we are fucked. Oh, we are so fucked.
Okay, cool. So at least it's FMU, and I know I'm not talking to some freak.
Oh, man.
Hey, who are you, dude?
I'm Ken, dude.
You're Ken?
Yeah.
Ken Friedman?
Yeah, this is Ken Friedman.
Oh, you're the man.
I'm the man.
Oh, you are the man, Ken.
So Scott's talking about Rush.
Yeah, he's talking about Rush.
The band, because I know he's a big Rush fan. Not
yeah,
Rush Limbaugh, the band.
Of course not. Yeah, he's talking about Rush and he's asking for some good Rush stories. So,
okay.
Considering you're Ken, I'll give you my good Rush story.
No, I don't want to hear your good Rush story.
You don't want to hear it?
I don't want to hear your good fucking Rush story.
All right, man.
I don't, even though I know it's a fucking great story.
It's all right.
No, it's... Come on! Don't sell yourself short!
I shouldn't, but
that
I do.
That is one hell of a fucking great Rush story! I've heard it!
Dude, I went to see Rush probably 15 times at the Palladium from the age of 13 to like freaking 20.
Dude, fucking tell me about it. I've seen Rush like 13 times.
Really? Well, I went to every time Rush came to the Palladium, I was there. You too?
Oh, guess what?
What?
McCain is on. So you got to call back Scott, 201-200-9368.
McCain is on. What would you be interested in McCain for?
I don't know. It's a problem I have. I don't
know. Yeah, you know.
So you talk to Scott. I'm gonna say goodbye. You call Scott back and tell him your Rush story. It's a fucking great story.
You're a great man, Ken.
Thank you.
Be healthy always, please.
Okay, I will be.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
McCain is on. Finally, I think we have a speech, I think.
You. This week, millions of Americans, not all Republicans, will weigh our claim on their support for the two men who have led our country in these challenging times with moral courage and firm resolve. So I begin with the words of a great American from the other party, given at his party's convention in the year I was born.
My purpose is not imitation, for I can't match his eloquence, but respect for the relevance in our time of his rousing summons to greatness of an earlier generation of Americans. At a time of deep distress at home, as tyranny strangled the aspirations to liberty of millions, and as war clouds gathered in the East and West, Franklin Delano Roosevelt accepted his party's nomination by observing, "There's a mysterious cycle in human events. To some generations, much is given. Of other generations, much is expected. This generation of Americans has a rendezvous with destiny."
I have nothing to say, but I can say it very well.
The awful events of September 11, 2001 declared a war we were vaguely aware of, but hadn't really comprehended how near the threat was and how terrible were the plans of our enemies.
These words are too simple.
This war. It's a fight between a just regard for human dignity and a malevolent force that defiles an honorable religion by disputing God's love for every soul on earth.
I don't want you to know.
It's right and wrong, good and evil. And my friends,
that I have nothing to say. So I will sing to you with words you won't understand.
And my friends, should our enemies acquire for their arsenal the chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons they seek, this war will become a much bigger thing. So it is, whether we wished it or not, that we have come to the test of our generation, to our rendezvous with destiny, and much is expected of us. We are engaged in a hard struggle against a cruel and determined adversary. Our enemies have made clear the danger they pose to our security and the very essence of our culture, liberty.
It's not my fault. I'm not responsible. There's nothing I can do.
Like all wars, this one will have its ups and downs. But we must fight. We must.
With a paradigm shift into a matrix of dynamic activity, with a hermeneutical synthesis with total transitional flexibility, with parallel incremental output, with dialectical interactional parameters, with functional logistical hardware, with idealized signification and communification.
We must share a resolve to see this war through to a just end. We must not be complacent at moments of success, and we must not despair over setbacks. We must learn from our mistakes, improve on our successes, and vanquish this unpardonable enemy.
Nothing, nothing, nothing I can do. Helpless. I'm not responsible. It's not up to me. I can't help it. Can't help.
We will fail the one mission no American generation has ever failed, to provide to our children a stronger, better country than the one we were blessed to inherit. You remember how we felt when the serenity of a bright September morning was destroyed by a savage atrocity so hostile to all human virtue, we could scarcely imagine any human being capable of it. We were united, first in sorrow and anger, then in recognition. We were attacked, not for a wrong we had done, but for who we are.
Can't.
A nation united in a kinship of ideals, committed to the notion that the people are sovereign, not governments, not armies, not a pitiless theocracy, not kings, mullahs, or tyrants, but the people. In that moment,
I can't help it. Can't help. Can't. Canada can't. Don't ask me. I don't know. I know nothing.
We were not different races. We were not poor or rich. We were not Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative. We were not two countries. We were Americans.
No! No! No!
With integrated territorialized canons.
The differences that enliven our politics are united in the one big idea that freedom is our birthright, and its defense is always our first responsibility. All other responsibilities come second. We must not lose sight of that as we debate among us who should bear the greatest responsibility for keeping us safe and free. We must, whatever our disagreements, stick together in this great challenge of our time. My friends in the Democratic Party, and I'm fortunate to call many of them my friends, assure us they share the conviction that winning the war against terrorism is our government's most important obligation. I don't doubt their sincerity. They emphasize that military action alone won't protect us, that this war has many fronts, in courts, financial institutions, in the shadowy world of intelligence, and in diplomacy. They stress that America needs the help of her friends to combat an evil that threatens us all.
I'm a real nice fellow, a real nice fellow.
As our armies, we agree. And as we've been a good friend to other countries in moments of shared perils, so we have good reason to expect their solidarity with us in this
struggle. Name me a just cause, I'm in favor of it. Issues, I love them. I stand on principles, on my own two feet, on ceremony, on guard. You can't fault me. Wars, I hate them. Peace, give it a chance. Redwoods and sequoias, let them stand. Dictators and potentates, let them fall. People of color, you gotta love them. Women in Wales, my cup of tea. The third world, number one by me. Pollution stinks. Baby seals, save them. Sealers, kill them. Aboriginal land claims, settle them. National unity, why not? The United Nations, if it's good enough for Ted. Conflict resolution, put that. Why? Because I'm a real nice fellow. You can't fault me. Eating AIDS and Hep C. Dams on the Yangtze. Decommissioned nuclear fission. United giving, community living. Nights, take them back. Smoke-free atmosphere. Ozone depletion. Landmines, turpentine. Ethnic minorities. Restorative sororities. Nice. Real nice.
Statecraft are in danger as the demands of war and diplomacy conflict. However just the cause, we should mourn for all that is lost when war claims its wages from us. But there is no avoiding this war. We tried that, and our reluctance cost us dearly.
All right, I apologize. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment.
As many components, we can't make victory on the battlefield harder to achieve so that our diplomacy is easier to conduct. This is not just an expression of strength, it is a measure of our wisdom. That's why I commend to my country the re-election of President Bush and the...
Dealers, kill them! Aboriginal land claims, settle them! National unity, why not? The United Nations, if it's good enough for Ted. Conflict resolution, you back. Why? Because I'm a real nice fellow. You can't call me. Eating AIDS and Hep C. Dams on the Yangtze. Decommissioned nuclear mission.
And the steady, experienced, public-spirited man who serves as our Vice President, Dick Cheney.
Members of the Citizens' Council. I am a simple soldier. And as a soldier, I treat things simply. I don't say all humans are evil simply because their skin is white.
4 years ago,
no.
I spoke of my conflict.
But our great lawgiver tells us that never, never will the human have the ape's divine faculty for being able to distinguish between evil and good.
False promises.
The only good human is a dead human.
He would confidently defend our interests and values wherever they are threatened. I knew my confidence was well placed. when I watched him stand on the rubble of the World Trade Center with his arm around a hero of September 11th. And in our moment of mourning and anger, strengthen our unity and our resolve by promising to right this terrible wrong and to stand up and fight for the values we hold dear.
I'm a real nice fellow, a real nice fellow. Name me a just cause, I'm in favor of it. Issues, I love them. I stand on principles, on my own two feet, on ceremony, on guard.
He promised. He promised our enemies would soon hear from us, and so they did. So they did.
You can't fault me. Wars, I hate them. Peace, give it a chance.
He ordered American forces to Afghanistan and took the fight to our enemies and away from our shores, seriously injuring Al-Qaeda and destroying the regime that gave them safe haven. He worked effectively to secure the cooperation of Pakistan, a relationship that's critical to our success against Al-Qaeda. He encouraged other friends to recognize the peril that terrorism posed for them and won their help in apprehending many of those who would attack us again and helping to freeze the assets they used to fund their bloody war. After years of failed diplomacy and limited military pressure to sustain the strained Saddam Hussein, President Bush made the difficult decision to liberate Iraq.
Redwoods and sequoias, let them stand. Dictators and potentates, let them fall.
Those who criticized that decision would have us believe that the choice was between a status quo that was well enough left alone and war. But there was no status quo to be left alone. The years of keeping Saddam in a box were coming to a close. The international consensus that he'd be kept isolated and unarmed had eroded to the point that many critics of military action had decided the time had come again to do business with Saddam, despite his near-daily attacks on our pilots and his refusal until his last day in power to allow the unrestricted inspection of his arsenals. Our choice wasn't between a benign status quo and the bloodshed of war. It was between war and a graver threat. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
People of color, you gotta love them. Women in Wales, my cup of tea. The third world, number one by me. Pollution, stinks. Baby seals, save them.
Not our political opponents, and certainly not a disingenuous filmmaker who would have us believe. Saddam's Iraq was an oasis of peace,
In fact, the death is a place of indescribable cruelty.
Torture chambers, mass graves, and prisons that destroyed the lives of the small children inside their walls. Whether or not Saddam possessed the terrible weapons he once had and used, free from international pressure and the threat of military action, he would have acquired them again. My friends, the central security concern of our time is to keep such devastating weapons beyond the reach of terrorists who can't be dissuaded from using them by the threat of mutual destruction.
We couldn't afford the risk posed by an unconstrained Saddam in these dangerous times. By destroying his regime, we gave hope to a people long oppressed that if they had the courage to fight for it, they may live in peace and freedom. Most importantly,
our efforts may encourage the people of a region that has never known peace or freedom or lasting stability, that they may someday possess these rights. I believe as strongly today as ever, the mission was necessary, achievable, and noble. Determination to undertake it, and for his unflagging resolve to see it through to a just end, President Bush deserves not only our support, but our admiration. As the President rightly reminds us, we are safer now than we were on September 11th. But we're not yet safe. We are still closer to the beginning than the end of this fight. We need a leader with the experience to make the tough decisions
and the resolve to stick with him. A leader who will keep us moving forward,
even if it's easier to rest.
And this president will not rest until America is stronger and safer still. He has been tested and has risen to the most important challenge of our time, and I salute him. I salute his determination to make this world a better, safer, freer place. He has not wavered. He has not flinched from the hard choices. He will not yield, and neither will we. I said earlier that the sacrifices in this war will not be shared equally by all Americans. The president is the first to observe most of the sacrifices fall as they have before to the brave men and women of our armed forces. We may be good citizens, but make no mistake, they are the very best of us. It's an honor to live in a country that is so well and so bravely defended by such patriots. May God bless them, the living and the fallen, as he has blessed us with their service. For their families, for their friends, for America, for mankind, they sacrifice to affirm that right makes might, that good triumphs over evil, that freedom is stronger than tyranny, and that love is greater than hate. It's left to us to keep their generous benefaction alive and our blessed, beautiful country worthy of their courage. We should be thankful for the privilege. Our nation's security doesn't depend on the heroism of every citizen, but we have to be worthy of the sacrifices made on our behalf. We have to love our freedom, not just for the material benefits it provides, not just for the autonomy it guarantees us, but for the goodness it makes possible. We have to love it as much, if not as heroically, as the brave Americans who defend us at the risk and often the cost of their lives.
I have nothing to say, but I can say it very well. These words are too simple. No, I don't
American,
want you to know.
No American alive today will ever forget what happened on the morning of September 11th.
But I have nothing to
that
say.
That day was the moment when the pendulum of history swung toward a new era. The opening chapter was tinged with great sadness and uncertainty. It shook us from our complacency in the belief that the Cold War's end had ushered in a time of global tranquility. But an absence of complacency should not provoke an absence of confidence. What our enemies have sought to destroy is beyond their reach. It cannot be taken from us. It can only be surrendered.
So, I will sing to you with words you won't understand. With a paradigm shift
friends,
into a matrix of dynamic activity.
We are again met on the field of political competition with our fellow countrymen. It's more than appropriate, it's necessary that even in times of crisis, we have these contests and engage in spirited disagreement over the shape and course of our government. We have nothing to fear from each other. We are arguing over the means to better secure our freedom and support the general welfare. But it should remain an argument among friends who share an unshaken belief that in our great cause and in the goodness of each other, we are Americans first, Americans last, and Americans always.
It's not my fault. I'm not responsible. There's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. Helpless. I'm not responsible. It's not up to me. I can't help it. Can't help.
Oh, I wish I were.
Don't ask me. I don't know. I know nothing. No. No. No.
What I truly like to be. Because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me, my baloney, and his first name is S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name.
Keep your faith, keep your courage, stick together, stay strong, do not give up, do not flinch, stand up with our president and fight. We're Americans and we'll never surrender, they will.
David Brooks and Mark Shields are here. In a word, David, what did you think of the speech?
It was a good speech. It did a number of things. It set some boundaries on political disputes. No more hatred, just civil disagreement. And then it was a call to war.
And now we're going to hear from some 9/11 families.
Wow. Exciting John McCain speech. which we've just been broadcasting here on the RNC Remix. I guess the big event of that speech was every time he alluded to Michael Moore, there were several minutes of catcalls and boos. This is FMU's RNC Remix, and we're going to open the phone lines again now, having fulfilled our duty and done something resembling an audio hijack of tonight's public television broadcast of the Republican National Convention. The phone number is 201-209-9368. What have they got on John McCain to make him do this? What have they offered him, or what are they blackmailing him with? This is a guy who detests George W. Bush for the character assassinations that the Bush campaign leveled against McCain as they were both vying for the Republican nomination for president in 2000. And to allow himself to be paraded around like this and used, there's something going on. They're like, they've promised him that he's going to be Secretary of State or head of the CIA or something in a second Bush administration. It's not my fault. Anyway, the phone number here is 800-989-9368. And Rich is helping me pull 9/11 CDs. The Punk Patriots. That came in quite handy. So let's hear some more 9/11 CDs now. This is called This Is My Country by The Prodigal Son. That kind of hurt. Sorry, I had to take that one off. And let's see, what else have we got in the big pile of 9/11 CDs here? We've got Who's Next? Who's Next performed by the Chambermaid Brigade as, for the first time, we start actually listening to some of the 9/11 tribute CDs that WFMU has received since the awful event. Since the bad thing happened. This is the Chambermaid Brigade. And who's next?
They came without a warning, and a battle was declared. A generation's innocence was shattered in despair. Finished grieving, we put our ships to sea. It was time to take the battle to our deadly enemies. Through the gates of hell, we'll drive them all away. Send them there to stay, to earn the devil's pay. Through the gates of hell, they'll arrive on Judgment Day. And one by one we'll say, who's next? Who's next? The first to feel our fury, we're hiding in their caves. You can hear the devil laughing when we turned them into graves. Their leaders took to running for shelter in the storm, but the thunder just kept coming from the troops in uniform. Through the gates of hell, we'll drive them all away. Send them there to stay, to earn the devil's pay. Through the gates of hell.
Wow, that one was pretty good. That guy had a really great singing style. They were even using real instruments on there. Let's listen to American Pride by Renegade. Or is it Renegade by American Pride? This is getting easier for me now. At first it was really, really hard for me to listen to these 9/11 CDs. And now it's getting better. That's American Pride by Renegade, or Renegade by American Pride. And we're going to move right along now to Take a Look Around, an American anthem by Wizard. Take it away, Wizard!
Can't I be like the guy who never seems to care or understand? It seems to me I'm trying hard to be the very best man I can.
That's just the worst kind of thing of all. Right? That's just, it's not good, it's just not bad, it's, that's the worst of all worlds. It's the worst of all possible worlds. Goodbye! Our loved ones! Goodbye!
Of life.
When time stood still and grief was shared, the world throughout showed how they
came.
By falling to knees in disbelief,
who was headed to Iraq,
and praying to somewhere to find relief. When time stood still and a darkened sea, the world throughout cried out for peace and proof. Very much I love them. How bitterly I weep.
In my room, wondering if a world's doomed, misapplied.
here.
Oh, what a fork in it.
Sit down, Saddam.
Everybody remembers, I'm sure, that he sang the Star Spangled Banner on September 23rd, 2001, at Yankee Stadium for the families of the September 11th victims. And here now is the man who was the mayor of New York at the time, Rudolph Giuliani.
Welcome to the capital of the world. New York was the first capital of our great nation. It was here in 1789 in Lower Manhattan that George Washington took the oath of office as the first president of the United States. And it was here in 2001 in the same Lower Manhattan that President George W. Bush stood amid the fallen towers of the World Trade Center. And he said to the barbaric terrorists who attacked us, they will hear from us. Well,
he's a damn liar.
Well, they heard from us.
If I get a hold of him, I'll break his neck before I go to jail.
And we removed the Taliban. They heard from us. They heard from us in Iraq, and we ended Saddam Hussein's reign of terror.
I don't know what's so funny up there.
And we put him where he belongs, in jail.
But ladies and gentlemen, that technology will save lives.
They heard from us in Libya, and without firing a shot, Gaddafi abandoned his weapons of mass destruction.
How does that coincide with your post-war
nations that are now much more reluctant to sponsor terrorists or terrorism. So long as George Bush is our president, is there any doubt they will continue to hear from us? We owe that much and more to the loved ones and heroes that we lost on September 11th. You're in our prayers, and we are in your debt. This is the first Republican convention ever held here in New York City. I've never seen so many Republicans in New York City. I finally feel at home. And you know something? Mayor Bloomberg, Governor Pataki, all of you that work so hard in bringing this convention to New York, our president and the party that decided to have it here, above and beyond everything else, it's a statement. It's a strong statement that New York City and America are open for business and we are stronger than ever.
beginning to be like a Yankee game. I don't know. I'll watch out. You know, we're just not going to let the terrorists determine where we have political conventions, where we go, how we travel. We're Americans, the land of the free and the home of the brave. From the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, to President George W. Bush, our party's great contribution is to expand freedom in our own land and all over the world. And our party is at its best when we make certain we have a powerful national defense in a still very, very dangerous world. I don't believe that we're right about everything. The Democrats are wrong. They're wrong about most of them. But, seriously, neither party has a monopoly on virtue. We don't have all the right ideas. They don't have all the wrong ideas. But I do believe there are times in history when our ideas are more necessary and more important and critical. And this is one of those times when we are facing war and danger. These are times. These are times when leadership is the most important. On September 11th, this city and our nation faced the worst attack in our history. On that day, we had to confront reality. For me, when I arrived there, I stood below the North Tower, and I looked up, and seeing the flames of hell emanating from those buildings, and realizing that what I was actually seeing was a human being on the 101st, 102nd floor that was jumping out of the building. I stood there. It probably took 5 or 6 seconds. It seemed to me that it took 20 or 30 minutes. And I was stunned. And I realized, in that moment, in that instant, I realized we were facing something that we had never, ever faced before. We had never been confronted with anything like this before. We had to concentrate all of our energy and our faith and our hope to get through those first hours and days. And we needed all the help that we could get and all the support that we could get. And I'll always remember that moment as we escaped the building that we were trapped in at 75 Barclay Street. And I realized that things outside might actually be worse than inside the building. We did the best we could to communicate a message of calm and hope as we stood on the pavement watching a cloud come through the cavernous streets of Lower Manhattan. Our people were so brave in their response. At the time, we believed we would be attacked many more times that day and in the days that followed. Without really thinking, based on just emotion, spontaneous, I grabbed the arm of then Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik, and I said to him, "Bernie, thank God George Bush is our president." I say it again tonight. Thank God that George Bush is our president. Thank God that Dick Cheney, a man with his experience and his knowledge and his strength and his background, is our vice president. Thank you.
George Bush had been president less than 8 months. The new president, the vice president, the new administration were faced with the worst crisis in our history virtually at the beginning of their administration. President Bush's response in keeping us unified and turning around the ship of state from being solely on defense against terrorism to being on offense is no.
And for his holding us together. And his determined effort to defeat mobile terrorism, no matter what happens in this election, President George W. Bush has already earned a place in history as a great American president. To present the correct view of our president. Let's write our own history. We need George Bush now more than ever. The horror, the shock, the devastation of those attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and over the skies of Pennsylvania lifted a cloud from our eyes. We stood face to face with those people and forces who hijacked not just airplanes, but a great religion, and turned it into a creed of terrorism dedicated to killing us and eradicating our way of life. Terrorism didn't start on September 11, 2001. It started a long time ago, and it had been festering for many years. And the world had created a response to it that allowed it to succeed. The attack on the Israeli team at the Munich Olympics was in 1972. That's a long time ago. That's not yesterday. And a pattern began early. The three surviving terrorists were arrested. And then, within just 3 months, the terrorists who slaughtered the Israeli athletes were released by the German government. Set free! Action like this became the rule, not the exception. Terrorists came to learn time after time that they could attack, that they could slaughter innocent people and not face any consequences. In 1985, terrorists attacked the Achille Lauro, and they murdered an American citizen who was in a wheelchair, Leon Klinghoff. They marked him for murder solely because he was Jewish.
Oh, it hurts.
Some of those terrorists were released, and some of the remaining terrorists, they were allowed to escape by the Italian government because of fear of reprisals from the terrorists.
It hurts. Don't you worry about that. No.
They could intimidate the world community, and too often the response, particularly in Europe, would be accommodation, appeasement, and compromise.
Soak them good. And up.
And worse. And worse.
And back.
Okay,
15, 20 seconds is good. Right down there, deep in the water.
In direct proportion to the horror of their attack.
Terrorist soak them good.
Like a ticket to the international bargaining table. How else to explain Yasser Arafat winning the Nobel Peace Prize?
Just watch the air bubbles. Air bubbles stop. Give it around 5 more seconds.
While he was supporting a plague of terrorism in the Middle East and undermining any chance of peace.
And up.
Before September 11th, we were living with an unrealistic view of our world, much like observing Europe as peace Hitler, trying to accommodate the Soviet Union through the use of mutually assured destruction. President Bush decided that we could no longer just be on defense against global terrorism. We must
and back down.
On
all right. Firm grip on the back of the neck now, because they do tend to buck a little bit. Watch out for the legs, because they do kick as well. All right. Stay out of the way of the legs. Get a nasty kick on the knee. Okay. And up. Nice. guy. You have a subject you're ready to work with. He's worked. He's tired. He's scared.
On September 20th, 2001, President Bush stood before a joint session of Congress, a still breathing and shocked nation, and a confused world. And he changed the direction of our ship of state. He dedicated America, under his leadership, to destroying global terrorism. The president announced the Bush Doctrine when he said, "A war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it doesn't end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated.
We're not living.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists." Since September 11th, President Bush has remained rock solid. It doesn't matter to him how he's demonized. It doesn't matter to him what the media does to ridicule him or misinterpret him or defeat him.
Oh, it hurts.
They ridiculed Winston Churchill. They belittled Ronald Reagan.
Oh, it hurts.
But like President Bush, they were optimists. Leaders need to be optimists. Their vision is beyond the present, and it's set on a future of real peace and security. Some call it stubbornness. I call it principled leadership.
First piece of equipment you want to make sure you have is just ready to close your eyes on it. If you subject, put them on top of the table.
President Bush has the courage of his convictions.
Strap down.
He's choosing a president we really don't choose, just a Republican or Democrat. A conservative or a liberal, we choose a leader. And in times of war and danger as we're now in, Americans should put leadership at the core of their decision.
What took place?
There are many qualities that make a great leader, but having strong beliefs, being able to stick with them through popular and unpopular times is the most important characteristic of a great leader.
And that prison does not represent America that I know. The America I know is a compassionate country that believes in freedom.
One of my heroes,
the American I know, cares about
the dangers of Hitler,
every individual.
While his opponents characterized him as a warmongering gadfly. Another one of my heroes, Ronald Reagan, saw and described the Soviet Union as the evil empire, while world opinion accepted it as inevitable and even belittled Ronald Reagan's intelligence. President Bush sees world terrorism for the evil that it is. John Kerry has no such clear, precise, and consistent vision. This is not a personal criticism of John Kerry. I respect him for his service to our nation. But it's a...
And we have faded away from Rudolph Giuliani speaking on public television from Madison Square Garden here on the RNC Remix. I had a bit of a technical disaster in the midst of all that. If things seemed odd to you, well, they were. You live by the sword, you die by the sword when you work with technology, I guess. I had all my MP3s, every MP3 I had picked out to play with, disappeared on me. They all just disappeared. It was as if I had picked out 100 records to DJ with. And one by one, they just all disappeared. So I was kind of freaking out there for a while. But so ends another program here on the RNC Remix. My name's Ken. I've been with you since about 8:20 tonight. Thanks to everybody who called. I will be back on the air here on the RNC Remix tomorrow morning from 9 to noon doing my FCC Indecency special. I'll be on the air again Wednesday morning on the RNC Remix stream as well as on FMU proper doing my salute, my musical salute to the Republican Party. And there's so much more good stuff coming up here on the RNC Remix. Check out the schedule at WFMU.org/RNC. Lou is coming up next. He's got 2 hours of political hip-hop to play for you. And late-breaking news, Chris T is doing a late-night special tonight. We thought we were going to our audio robot tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning. But actually, Chris T will be here live for your listening pleasure, taking your phone calls at 201-209-9368 from 1 to 3 o'clock tonight. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Stay tuned for Lou.